Well, it's Wednesday, so it is only fitting that we share with you Wednesday's Blues with Joe Newman on trumpet, Frank West on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Eddie Jones on bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums. This is from Newman's 1960 album, Jive at Five. Of course, there's no jive happening here. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we meet up again, thank goodness, to exchange information, opinions, and ideas about what's happening in this world. And what is happening in this world is a sad notation, really. Yet more pain, more suffering, more bewilderment befalling the nation of Haiti after a magnitude 7.2 earthquake killed an estimated, now estimated, 1,900 people this past Saturday in a still ongoing count. As the frantic search for possible survivors continues, Haiti proceeds with its internal investigation into the July 7th, 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. The obvious question, and I'm asking what your opinion is, what you're thinking about as I ask the question, is an exodus from Haiti due to natural and political disasters in the making? Would you be surprised if there is such a thing as an exodus from Haiti? And why? 888-874-4888 is the number to call to share your views on this question. We have other questions waiting in the wings for us, but it is important that we not forget Haiti. It is important that Haiti remain a focal point for all of us because so much rests on it, a lot of stuff, a lot of geopolitical stuff. But we have also historical precedents playing out here. And we have the matter of a nation that basically formed itself into a nation. And it seems as if it is one harrowing event after the other standing in the way of true freedom and liberation. 888-874-4888. Are we to expect a new wave of change in the form of an exodus from Haiti, because this is just too much? Or do you believe that Haitians are tough people and they would ride it out, and they will make changes because they'll have to, but what would those be? What do you think? How should the Haitian people receive these multitudinous hints that it was it worth it to go through the business of forming a nation? Do they have a feeling that some divine spirit is against them just being independent and on their own? Are some people just fed up with all the vicissitudes of life that they have to live with time and again? It is an awful repetition of sorrow and harrowing events. If it were you, could you stick it out much longer or at all? Or would you seriously consider moving or persuading the government to think differently about this nation and things that they ought to have in place to anticipate disasters like this. And they should have some kind of a plan other than collecting dead bodies. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I don't see anybody yet, so it means that you're taking your time to call today. I want to talk also about our favorite president, who didn't waste any time staging an event with, I don't even know if they're real soldiers or real military people, but they were wearing military style uniforms and they were forming a backdrop, a human backdrop for Donald Trump as he staged his news conference to announce that if he were in charge, things would not have turned out the way they eventually did at all. They would not have turned out that way if he were in charge and still commander-in-chief in Afghanistan. You talk about a person with no taste, no sense of proportionality, no sense, no common sense even, just a brazen lust for power is all he's got. And he seems to be getting worse mentally. He's no longer, well, shame had never really stood in his way. Shame had never really forced him to act in a more rational way conducive to the head of state. And now he's just brazen with it. He went so far as to say that had he still been president, and if he is to be president, these crazy things would not be occurring, like the leaving of Afghanistan and the troubles in that region of the world. He will put everything right. What do you think about somebody who behaves that way? I know it sounds also like people are saying, well, you know, it's public relations and it's a timely situation. He made a statement in a timely manner, and they give him all kinds of elastic. But this is, you know, this is low. Even for Donald Trump, it is low. And to have all these people in military uniform, U.S. military uniform at that, standing right behind him like a curtain, like he's the main actor in a play. It tells you that there's something so wrong with the mind of the president, the ex-president, that there's nobody around him who could tell him, hey, you know, we can't do that. It just looks just too bad. And we cannot use this particular situation, and we cannot use even the representation of the military with all these people dressed up in U.S. type uniforms, standing behind you as if they endorse you already. It is a bad, bad picture. And you shouldn't even think about doing something like that. But, you know, Trump is in charge. Trump is the guy. Trump is the guy who makes all the right decisions. And there you go. You have something I'm sure the whole world had watched and laughed at and thought, this is a crazy, crazy man. The United States had as a, quote, ruler, unquote, an insane man. Rudy from Montreal, you're on the air. You start us off today.
Hello, Utrice. Utrice, it is really a sad situation that Haiti keeps getting hit with these disasters. I'm becoming very suspicious that these disasters are not acts of God. They're acts of humanity. So you said something I will never forget. You said that your father, the first thing he told you to do is to get a passport. That is the saddest thing I have ever heard in my life. What has to be done, I believe, is these small nations will have to combine. There is massive duplication of services and lost productivity, a loss to humanity. If Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Jamaica could combine together, no amount of sanctions could undermine them, because they all have individual treasures, which if they combined together, they would become a very powerful unit in that area. What is happening? The United States fears that other countries will put weaponry in those countries, and so they have to keep them divided. But if they were to combine, they would not be dependent on this great country to the north of them. So that's how I feel. If they could get together, if they could work together, they would be able to keep the intelligence and the creativity of those people in those countries to work together to keep that, to make that area viable. And when destruction happens, there will be other areas to rush in and help them and provide whatever necessities either. In other words, an attack on one would be an attack on all. And they are not going to stand by while they watch their people in that area suffer. That's my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that, but I disagree. Because implicit in your position is that there is no hope, no way to even think of independence. And that's how they had lived before the Europeans came. Everybody was quite independent. And everybody also, you know, cooperated. And there were wars as well, just like in any other part of the world. The way that these nations have unfolded, you must bear in mind that they were subjected to centuries of colonialism. And that means a disabling of their capacity for self-rule. So even if, let's say, people in the region said, okay, let's have a coming together of nations here. We may be small islands, but we can all work together. They did not have, and many still do not have, the experience of nationhood. And that's a very important thing, because it determines so much more outside of that word, you know, the nationhood. And that was, of course, deliberately denied them. They were not to be independent. They were, in fact, to be destroyed if they attempted to be independent. We have so many instances of wars conducted against nations that just wanted to be left alone to develop for themselves in accordance with their cultural histories and with their vision for the future.
Sure.
There were so many attempts made. So they were not going to be left alone to do that. It's the same thing as in any other colonized or super colonized part of the world. They're not allowed to think of themselves as belonging to themselves, or that anything they can put on the market, say for commerce, that they are entitled to compete against their former colonizers. It's a very rough kind of treatment, but history proves how determined the nations that colonized them were and still are to utterly control every aspect of their lives.
Mm-hmm. When you're faced with maybe acts of God, and you have to deal with a Goliath who is utilizing every means to undermine you, and you have to deal with corrupt people, eventually there are too many factors that are undermining your ability to act alone. I mean, you have a pride. If you are independent, you could be independent with a group like Venezuela, Cuba. Both provided, Venezuela provided oil to Haiti, a lot of oil. And
yes.
Cuba provided doctors. These countries are pulling up their bootstraps, even though they've been, even though there've been sanctions. But eventually you get worn down. Like it's happening in Haiti now. They can't move Haiti. It is in a region of other countries. They're suffering the same situations, the same storms, the same destruction, the same corruption, the same threats. They must unite. They have to unite if they want to be independent. There's an independent.
Yes, but that's not our call.
In unity.
That is not our call.
Sorry?
That is not our call. It is up to the people to decide what they want to do with their land, their country.
That's true.
And
that's very true.
We have to give them the right. We have to respect their right to do that.
Right.
So it's a very bad situation in that sense that you see what is happening. You see the deterioration in the quality of life and so forth.
Sure.
And yet, you have to observe a particular kind of process which we are not authorized to put in place. We don't have the authority to do that.
But listen, Utrice, the most capable, the most courageous people are leaving. They can't take it any longer. They've had enough. But
then
you
look on the other side.
They're the treasure.
There are people who are toughing it out.
Yes, but there's not enough of them. They're not enough.
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know.
Okay, that's my point of view. I understand independence. I understand freedom. I understand it, but we live in a world, an interdependent world. We are, one way or another, we don't want to admit that we are interdependent. We don't have you know, God's maybe spread this knowledge and or treasure, didn't put it in one place. We have to try when we see a neighbor who needs help, we go to them, we help them. And well, it's true, we don't monopolize them, but the problem is the things are more profound that are happening to these people, and this massive export of people breaking down walls to try to get away. It's insanity. It does no good. It just cheapens them in another place where they go to, and it takes generations for. And meanwhile, the place they left is suffering. Doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Well, we will have to live with that kind of sentiment because we are not in charge.
True.
And we have to let the situation take its course according to the will of the people. That is something they have to do. Mm-hmm. Our job would probably be more in helping if we can.
Right.
But it is their call.
Right.
It is their call. And we have to be content with that. If we do only that, which is to answer the call, we would have done quite a bit. But so far, it doesn't look like it.
But it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked, Patrice.
It hasn't worked, but how long? You know, what kind of a lead start did any of the European nations have? Any of them. And they got their start by pillaging and robbing and blowing other places to smithereens and killing off their population.
You're right.
So,
but that doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be, but it is. And it has been.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the truth.
But the better way is by combining their intelligence, combining their muscle power, by their ability to foresee a combination of several nations together, even though they speak different language, they have a different history, but they can. Venezuela had the right idea. Cuba had the right idea.
The idea of establishing their own version of a confederacy, that occurred. It was absolutely obliterated by the colonial powers. And along with it, sizable portions of the indigenous population. So that it could not happen anytime again soon.
Yeah, but
so
unfortunately,
they're up against bad advice, but they still persevere. And to my mind, that's our job, to help them persevere.
Right.
However they define it, we may not agree. We may not like what they define as important and what they define as second important. But it's up to them. That's what an independent nation does.
Mm-hmm.
They make their own minds up.
Sure. Okay.
Thanks for calling and getting us started today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To hear from you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I missed your show for a couple of days, so I had to get in here. I have to say
that... Should we still talk to you?
Say that again?
Should we still talk to you since you
yes,
missed
you
a couple
should.
Of our
you
show?
Should, because it wasn't for fun reasons, and I couldn't be on the show or be on the radio. It was for all bad things. So this is my relief, okay? This is like somewhere else I can put my energy. I have two remarks. I wanted to say, first of all, that, you know, after you come on today, there's going to be a guy named Dane Wiginson who comes on. And I don't know if you've ever listened to his show, but it is depressing, he admits it himself. But it's also very informative, and it's very interesting. And I have to say, after watching Haiti for a pretty long time, that it just seems that Haiti, every time the powers that be think they're getting out of power, or getting their too big for their britches, like they get their president stolen, or there's some kind of incredible earthquake. And, you know, I do believe that we probably do have the capacity to you know, create an earthquake today. I don't think that is a crazy idea anymore. And I think that Haiti was not being a good Haiti when they allowed their president to get shot. And so I almost feel like it was powers would be pushing back, saying, yeah, well, you're getting out of line again, so here's what we got for you. And it's backbreaking what happens. When an earthquake happens, it's breaking the back of the country, because it's such a tremendous amount of work to ever get back up to where you used to be. And they've never recovered from the first huge earthquake they've had. They've still, you know, they were just exploited after that. I mean, what you said yourself, that what Clinton bought, built two houses or something like that. So after all the money and goodwill that was going towards that, this is what we got for. I mean, honestly, when the first earthquake happened, I felt so bad. I must have been on the phone with Red Cross at least 3 or 4 times the first day. And then to find out that the money went to, you know, the Clinton organization instead of building houses, it's like, okay, so, you know, they're talking about getting money. It's like, I cannot give you money anymore, because the money doesn't go to you. It goes to foundations. But I also find it very interesting that the Dominican Republic is on the same island, right? Isn't that strange? Yes. How half the island gets hit with an earthquake, but the other half never gets it? I just think that's weird. I mean, so Dominican Republic never gets it. And then the other day, I hear Adriano Espaillat, who is my congressman, as the person who's going to speak on NPR radio about Haiti. And I'm thinking, this is really weird, because you were for the expulsion of people that live in the Dominican Republic who had come there maybe in the 1920s or 40s, but were of Haitian background. So you're going to talk on behalf of the country of Haiti. I just found that kind of strange. So I think with the way that things are today, I wouldn't put anything past the powers that be. France has been horrible to Haiti. We have been horrible to Haiti. And I also wanted to address the gentleman before this and just say to him that as much as I hate to take a cynical point of view, I really don't want to take a cynical point of view. But, you know, I was talking on Gary Knoll's show previous to this, telling him about going down to a protest against mandatory vaccines in New York City. And the most poignant part of the entire thing was the fights that kept breaking out between the people that were at the protest, because all the people wanted to do was bash each other's politics. We couldn't stay online for even 5 minutes to just talk about the emergency in front of us, and that is that there's going to be mandatory vaccines in New York, and you will not be able to go to your job, your gym, or a restaurant if you don't have them. So if you're talking, we're just talking about a group of, like, this was a group of maybe 75 people. Now you're talking about several nations that you want them all to get together and, you know, play nice and try to figure out a one world government. And frankly, I'm not even sure if I like that whole one world government idea anyway, because it seems to me that's what the whole world is headed to with the vaccine and the compulsory documents you have to carry with them, because it's not just happening here in the United States. So I feel very bad for Haiti. I think if I lived in Haiti, I probably think I would throw the towel in. But it seems to me that Haiti is just one of all of the terrible things that's happening right now, which is making people want to run away from home. And I'll tell you something else. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Afghanistan, because whether you like the Taliban or not, this is a huge win for them. The fact that the Taliban has taken back their own government from the United States is not sitting well with the United States, which may also be why they had an earthquake in Haiti if it was man-made, because they don't want anybody else getting any more ideas about trying to, you know, break away from the dominance of the United States. So it's going to be interesting. And I think already in Afghanistan, they did have a terrible earthquake over the last 4 years, and it was kind of strange too. So look, there are conspiracies, and they do happen. I mean, they happen every day. It's happened in my family. You know, my sister conspired to cut me out of my parents' will. All quiet, all silent, and total ambushed, okay? So things happen like this. And we have this incredible system of science now where it looks to me, you know, if Lyndon Johnson was willing to say he who changes the weather can control the world, and that was back in the 1960s, well, don't you think we've moved along a little bit since then and we probably can create some of these things? I'm just saying,
still,
leave your mind open. I'm not saying that's what happened, but just leave your mind
saying,
open.
It is still, you're not confident that you are saying what you're saying with facts backing
right,
you up.
Because, right, I'm only saying that there are theories, I want to make that clear, theories out there that the technology exists. And I'm not a scientist, so I can't tell you as a fact that I know that to be true. However, looking at the circumstances, it was the first thing that hit me when I heard about this. The very first thing, because it was first there was this presidential shooting, and then there was this thing. And the presidential shooting was so unsolved, not clear cut. Nobody could seem to figure out, you know, where or why this happened. And let's not forget that, you know, when Haiti gets out of line, we just take their whole government apart. We took their president and we sent him to Africa to live. We didn't like him, so we picked him up and said, we're going to kill you or you can go to Africa. There's your choices. So I think that Haiti is a symbol of breaking the chains of slavery and taking ownership of that land. And that has never sat well with people. And I have to tell you something, you know, people that feel vindictive never seem to let go of their need to be vindictive. And the policies against Haiti, I say to you, I think are very vindictive and very exploitative. And I don't know what I would do. I might move to the other side of the island. I might move over to the Dominican side if I was Haitian. So then maybe they wouldn't, you know, the Dominicans don't seem to be rocking anybody's boat. So at least maybe that side of the island will stay stable. But it's just really weird to me that everything always happens only on this one side of the island and the other side, nothing happens to. Don't you find that strange?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at, because there are lots of things happening on the other side as well that are
not. Yeah, but
not
like these big weather events. Like, I mean, they get hurricanes. That's true. But that seems to be, you know, more natural. That's like, you know, these hurricanes are whipping through there and then they're coming up to Florida. So it seems to be like in a trail. But I don't know. I mean, this is the second really big earthquake they've had over, what, the last 10 years or something? No, 15 years, because it was back in, I think, 2003 that the first one happened. So longer than that. But it was really big. I mean, each time they're really, really big. And then in between that, you have the removal of Jean Aristide, they removed him,
yeah.
Made him go to Africa. Then
Jean,
he comes back.
Aristide, yes?
Yes.
Well,
so you put your
theory out there. Let's see how people react to it.
Just a theory, okay? Just a theory.
Yes. We
I don't want to get in trouble, okay?
It's just a theory. Thanks so much
Thanks,
for your
Patrice.
Call, Gwen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice. I'm happy to finally be able to join your discussion about Haiti, because I think there's something, what's the current word people like to use, problematic in the framework you're using for this discussion. And in order to illustrate my point, I'll start with an area of history in Haiti that I paid careful attention to at the time, and that is the late 80s and around 1990, as your previous caller was just discussing, when Aristide was elected. Now, up until that point, for about 30 years, you know, the project of the U.S. has been to basically turn Haiti into an export platform, super cheap labor, big returns for U.S. investors, lots of repression, you know, the population's under control. And that was the case for about 30 years. In 1990, something happened that surprised the world. There actually was a free election. They weren't being monitored carefully by the West or whatever the circumstances were. And everyone thought just it was going to be a shoe-in for the World Bank official who was supposed to be elected. I can't remember what his name was. Bazin, I think. And they had all the foreign support. But in the meantime, in the slums and peasant communities in Haiti, nobody was paying any attention. They were forming a vibrant, active civil society, great big organizations from the grassroots, all kinds of stuff going on. And they had a huge amount of popular organizing, lots of activism. The CIA just didn't look at it. American journalists didn't pay any attention to it. All of a sudden, they came out of the woodwork and won the election. Big catastrophe. Now, at any point, any American with a spoonful of brains should have immediately asked the question, what's the U.S. going to do to destroy this? Because that's been their program for 200 years with Haiti. So I don't think there's any question at all about what Haitians want. Obviously, 90% of the population knows what they want. The problem is if they do anything about it, they get slaughtered by U.S. power. So, you know, I remember after Aristide got in, the U.S. press went insane, and they started to say, and the government state security bureaucrats were on TV all the time saying, well, we have to go down there and teach these Haitians lessons in democracy. Now, I mean, anybody but a commissar would have died laughing at that. That we can teach democracy to Haitians when they just demonstrated a classic example of how it's supposed to work. The fact of it is, I don't think we should be overlapping with this attitude. Is Haiti ready to be a nation, and can they overcome their obstacles? They've proven many times that they can. We should be observing them for lessons in how to run a democracy, because they are showing us how it really works when we allow them. Now, if Haiti wants to go ahead and create a system, something like Cuba has, where, you know, they have hurricanes and disasters all the time with very little damage. They don't even lose farm animals as a rule, because their disaster relief and response is set up to take care of people and not elite real estate investors, which is why the same hurricane that Cuba lives through will destroy much of Florida, all kinds of deaths, disaster, people homeless, fleeing in thousands of cars. No, we should be taking lessons in how to set up a nation from them. And if we had anything for a backbone except the jelly we have, we would stop our government from interfering when they try to do it. And they've tried to do it literally hundreds of times. We have stood by and allowed the U.S. power to smash all their attempts. This is on us, Utrecht. This is not a question of are they capable. This is a question of are we capable.
What do you think the answer is?
Well, I think the answer is clearly we're not capable. We are volunteered slaves. Just look around. People are whipped around by any nonsense that comes out of the media. People just immediately buy it. Somebody like Biden, who's barely conscious, or the other lunatic you're allowed to choose, Trump. These people have basically tottered into senility 15 or 20 years ago, and these are the people you're supposed to pay attention to. And the media is just completely purchased. There is no institution or organization in this country that hasn't been completely purchased and isn't complicit in this. So, no, the prospect for us is terrible. If we had half the courage, a fraction of the courage of illiterate Haitian peasants who know what a democracy is, and as soon as they have after their latest attempt is smashed to set one up, they immediately go back to work at it. But the prospect for the United States is, I see no evidence whatsoever, especially from the completely careerist left, that there's anything we're going to do here to change it. The left here is entirely rhetorical. Any kind of fake resistance they put up stops at the criminal code. So, somebody makes a pronouncement, oh, well, it'll involve cost and risk, and they just fold. So, no, the problem is us. We shouldn't be speculating on whether Haiti can make a nation. Can we make a nation? So far, the answer seems to be clearly no.
Okay. Well, thank you, Marcus, for your opinion today. Thank you. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air. At
888-874-4888.
Hello? Yes, you're
on the air. Okay. I really don't know where to begin, but it turns out that Gwen and I are on the same frequency. I support everything Marcus said as well, which is the more obviously provable situation, as opposed to what she calls her theory. The aspect of Glenn's theory that concerns atmospheric events, easily provable. There's an overabundance of documented proof and evidence if you just refer to the show that follows you on Wednesday, Global Alert News. On that gentleman's website is all the documented proof of freak winter events, freak cold weather events, and the artificial cooling of the eastern half of the U.S., which is the most populated part of the country. But the things that are harder to prove and remain in the theoretical realm that Gwen is putting out there, I want to stay on the topic of Haiti, but I have to say there's a long list of other countries that, for having the audacity to attempt self-rule, or to go against the U.S. official narrative, this military weapon is a very sneaky thing, because you cannot tell who put Pakistan, a one-third of Pakistan was underwater. That's when I sort of perked up, and I started linking all these events, connecting the dots, as they say. So there are unprecedented droughts in most of the countries on Wesley Clark's list, the list that Wesley Clark told us about, that a general in the Pentagon showed him, showing our administration, actually the deep state's intent to destabilize half a dozen Middle Eastern countries, unprecedented droughts, etc. And so I think that with the technology and the machinery that the military industry has, I'm looking at the tsunamis also. The tsunami that took out three Fukushima plants in Japan, the tsunami that killed 250,000 people in the Indonesia area. So back to Haiti. Out of nowhere, comes the earthquake, followed by cholera, the UN troops defecating in the rivers of Haiti. Then another 1-2 punch some years later, all of a sudden there's another earthquake and a hurricane. Now, these recent events are just on a list very, well, Gerald Cervantes used the word demonic in terms of the tyranny that's being imposed. So Haiti's long been the playground of the rich. We all know that. But I say it goes deeper than that. The powers that really control this planet are using Haiti as a pipeline. Where have all these children gone throughout all these disasters? There's lots of missing kids. So theories can point to very nefarious things going on. But the pattern...
I'm waiting for you to present something close to facts, and I'm not hearing it.
Well, about the atmospheric events, that can be proven very easily on Dane Wigginton's site on the Global Alert News. But I have to stay in the theoretical realm with Gwen concerning the underground events, the earthquakes. But I'm just laying on another layer of what Gwen said when I refer to the tsunamis. I believe that the HAARP, which is an Air Force program, there's evidence of at least one installation in Alaska, but there's probably 99 more. So I can only speculate. I just want to call in and support.
Yes, but you know, this is dangerous when you start speculating. And at the same time that you're speculating, you are putting out information that sounds dangerously close, like facts.
Well, there are some facts, and I am basing my speculation.
But you're not doing it. You're not making a factual case that what you're saying has merit to it. It's still theoretical, and it is almost out there in the ether for people to kind of start inculcating for themselves what you are saying, interpreting what you are saying, and it becomes fact. This is dangerous. You do know that.
I feel that people should speculate based on some information. So I believe that there is substantial evidence for...
Yes, but you have presented nothing as evidence. It's not about whether you believe there is evidence. If you believe there is evidence, why don't you present it?
Well, Dane Wigginton's done all the legwork for me. Global Alert News, or the website is geoengineeringwatch.org. They've done all the legwork, Eutrice, just like Bobby Kennedy Jr., writing a book and doing all the legwork, revealing the truth. You cannot suppress the truth for very long. Like bubbles in water, you can't stop them all, even in a bucket. The truth has to come out.
All this sounds good. The problem I'm having
I want people
is
to be observant is all.
Right now, you're in the communicating business. You are communicating. And one supposes that you are communicating with some degree of authority. But when I ask you for specifics, you don't have them. So why should anybody listen to you?
It's really not good enough to refer to a very, very qualified source, which I've repeated at least two or three times. My information comes from PRN in general and several very, very significant programs that I listen to.
That's a catch-all defense. I'm asking, what have you done to ascertain the credibility of the information that you're sharing with us today?
Well, I think you can just look some of these things up yourself. HAARP.
No. You're the teacher here. We are the students.
I think you will
have to present your information in a way that makes us believe that you know what you're talking about, or the sources that you refer to know what they're talking about.
I'm offering tools of freedom. Last time I called, when we were discussing the Judeo-Christian, the suggestion that this country's values are based on that, and I offered at least a couple of book titles, but I called in with a half a dozen books that have been published concerning the role of the Freemasonry in the building, in the inception and building of this country. So, I mean, I can offer you books on the subject, but I understand what you're saying. I should be prepared with a cogent list, with direct reference.
That's right.
And so it's another, I guess.
And something that defends or helps you defend your theories, your various theories.
Well, I don't think I'll be careful to make a list next time. It wasn't my intent. Was not on track. My intent was really to just raise the issue so people would investigate it on their own. And I
Nah, that's fast. That's fast and loose. We don't want that here. We want, give us something that resembles facts and that we can then move on to check out for ourselves. But you did a very good job from your perspective of presenting your idea today. And I thank you for calling in and contributing. Thanks, Neil. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. How are you?
Here's a fact. We got these aluminum tubes, okay? And the aluminum tubes was given to our government saying that they were going to be used to make nuclear weapons, okay? So that we could, in fact, have a reason to go and start a war with Iraq. How about that fact? The fact that we get...
Where did you get that that is a fact? What you just said.
We went to war as the
alternate universe here. And we have a... We have a plethora
of weapons of mass destruction. We actually went to war about that. And that was a lie. That was a lie. That's the problem what we have right now. The people who are supposed to be telling the truth are the liars. The people who break the law are the people who are in charge of the law. That's what the problem is in our country, and along with the rest of the world, because we're sending
an
example.
All right, we'll have to leave it there because we're out of time. I'm sorry to say. But we just went into a parallel universe, and I'm not comfortable in it. I like facts. I call it a bad habit, but I do like facts, and that you make a cogent case using your facts. But we've come to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for contributing to a lively discussion on Haiti. Haiti still is at the center of our attention, let's not forget, and we will continue this discussion as we go along. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.